This is Mark.
And this is Kenny.
And this is All I Want to Do Is Talk About Yeezus.
Loves My Pussy Best.
This is All I Want to Do Is Talk About Madonna.
Album 14, track 12.
Holy Water.
I can give you everything that you want. Bitch, get off my pole. Bitch, get off my pole. You can't buy this at no luxury store. Bitch, get off my pole. Bitch, get off my pole. There's a place you gotta go before I let you take it all. It's like a drug, it should be illegal. Maybe you should get down low and drink my precious alcohol. You look so thirsty, I think you need it.
Wow. I mean, talk about, like, we've taken a turn. We have taken a turn, girl. We haven't been on this turn in, like...
20 years.
At least 20 years. 22, 23 years.
Well, I think to the kaleidoscopic nature of this record,
yes,
this fits right into the armpit of Rebel Heart.
Well, it's a great thing to say, the armpit, yes, because yeah, it's stinky and sexy.
It's stinky.
Do you like armpits?
Yes.
Like if a guy is like...
I have become quite enamored with an armpit and
yeah,
smells and musky man smell. I want natural...
But if a man is like... get into my armpit and sniff it and lick
if
it.
If they're into it,
you'll
if
go the, for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it for
yeah,
them. I'm yeah, not like, I'm really...
You're not in, like, check out my armpits?
Yeah, I'm just more like, let's nosy around in there and see what's up.
Yeah.
What about
yeah,
you?
I can get into it, but it's not my favorite thing.
We don't lead with it. I think that's...
No, but
I think
like
that's
if,
a general...
Yeah, yeah. But if a guy's like gets, you know, is like in that place, yeah, I'll totally go there. I mean, I'll do anything almost if it's like hot.
Yeah, of course. It's hot today.
Oh, it's hot.
It's so hot. And I'm so happy we're talking about it on this hot day in
yes,
New York City.
Yes.
Because this song to me radiates...
Heat
and sweat and like cement. It's both really sexy and it's kind of hard.
Yes.
It's a tough song.
Yes. This also makes me think, by the way, that on the Patreon we should release the Heat episode.
Oh my gosh, we should talk. Oh, yeah, that was yeah, a sexy episode.
That's from last summer
yeah,
that we never released. But
another hot day that we were like bemoaning.
Oh God, it was yeah, the hottest day.
Weather really does impact how we talk about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weather impacts everything.
I feel like we're lighter because it's hotter out. Like
absolutely.
We're darker when it's like
depressed
winter and cold.
And
yeah.
I mean, I talk about this in playwriting all the time. I'm like, what's the weather? And
what's
the kids
the
are
weather?
Always like, what? And I'm like, well, think about it. Like, even like I go back to Angels in America. I was like, you can track the weather through that whole play.
Oh, of course.
And the weather tells you everything.
But well, and I always think about when you're seeing a play and when it is cold, getting everything off
ugh,
is such an and you it takes time and
yes,
that's like in scenes you got to like take the scarf off, take the sweater off, and blah blah blah. This you just kick your flip flops off and jump on.
Get down there and eat it.
Get down there and eat it.
That's what
it,
this song is about. This is a throwback. I mean, this is the follow up to Where Life Begins, right?
Sure.
Well, it is. I mean, it is about the same subject. And
yes,
in fact, I just want to quote Wikipedia, who says, lyrically, the song talks about cunnilingus, where Madonna compares her vaginal fluids to holy water, juxtaposing Christian imagery with sexuality.
Not a new theme for our friend Madonna.
No, we haven't talked. She hasn't talked about someone eating her pussy for a long time.
Well, and she's also it hasn't been this explicit in a very long time. And I think that there's something very political about what she's doing here, about
yes,
being a woman of her age and still enjoying cunnilingus.
Yes,
and also demanding it and demanding kind of an accolade of delight and nutrients.
Yes.
Like she really wants you to appreciate what she's giving you down
there. Yes.
And I like that. I like there's kind of a stake in the
And she also gives directions. Kiss it better.
Yeah. Make it wetter.
Yeah.
Don't it taste like holy water?
She really is in her dom top mode. She's like, kiss it better. Better.
Ugh. Have you ever drank holy water?
No. Have you?
I did. I did once when I was an altar boy. We snuck a little cup of it. Like, so they would have these little paper cups at in the sacristy for the priest to kind of take a sip of water before he went out. And, you know, so we would get these little cups and we dipped them into the, we snuck into the sat. We didn't even do it in the back. We went into the church where the fountain was, dipped.
Oh my gosh.
And drank some of it because we thought it would make us holier.
And it obviously brought. What about the other kids you did it with? Are they all sinners too?
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you see,
I mean, I think one of them beat somebody up later that day. So it didn't really do much to like you know, but it was. I remember shaking when we drank it. Like, is this gonna like kill us? Or
well, it could. This is one of the things I wanted to also tell you because I was looking up holy water on the internets today. And one thing I learned is that holy water have been identified as a potential source of bacterial and viral infections.
Oh, totally. The water itself is filthy. You should never drink it.
Like,
don't drink it, anybody.
Almost all like terrible, you know, flus and sicknesses have come from holy water. So when Madonna's telling us to go down and drink her holy water, she's like, I'm going to make you sick.
I'm going to make you sick. You're going to love it. Well, you're going to drink so much of it, it's going to make you sick.
Or maybe that's how she got her bacterial infection.
Well, I also think about like John the Baptist. And you know, I think it's good we're talking about all this imagery because like the live performance is full of like this Catholic, Christian
fabulous
imagery. And because I always think like they would baptize people in the in the rivers, and the rivers were like filthy and full of bacteria and dirt
poop.
And poop.
Lots
of poop. So it wasn't this glorious, you know, white, clean ceremony.
No.
And I think that this song certainly captures some of the filth.
Yes, it does. I think it's a really sexy song. And I think a song that was, and I'm going to say this, I don't even think this is a hot take. I think everybody would agree that actually Kanye saved.
So, I would concur. So finally, our friend Martin Kurtzenbaum and Natalia Kills hit one out of the park, and they finally get a song on this record.
Well,
after
I think
a
they
lot
hit.
Falter.
I think they hit one that goes to like the pitcher, and he's like, "Wait, I think I can wait and throw this when the person tries to run to get a home run," because the song, the demo, is pretty bad.
I disagree. Why don't we listen to a little bit of it and then we'll decide. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
I can teach you all the things you don't know. Bitch, get off my pole. Bitch, get off my pole. It's rare like mink. It's something you wanna own. Bitch, get off my pole. Bitch, get off my pole. There's something you gotta hit. It's sacred and immaculate. I can let you in heaven's door. Promise you it's not a sin. Find salvation deep within. We can do it here on the floor. Kiss it better, kiss it better. Don't it taste like holy water? Make it wet, make it wet. Don't it taste like holy water? Kiss it better, make it wet. Don't it taste like holy water? Kiss it better, kiss it better.
So, okay, make your case, girl.
Well, so I like the kind of stripped down, kind of dark, raw, like bluntness of the demo. I adore the synths. I think the synths are 80s juicy and weird and random, and I love that. I think it has, I see potential of where it could have gone. It's not done by any
No.
And it's still kind of a slip of an idea. Like I don't think it's fully formed. But there's something very erotica about the demo that I really dig. And there's something I can see it going in a different direction that I find very, very intriguing.
Hmm.
And but if Kanye had not come in and kind of
right, if they had done their own production,
yeah,
on it.
Yeah.
No, I like the beginning, like the sort of drops
yeah.
that become like kind of the beat. I think that's kind of cool, but. And I think, you know, her vocal lines are all there. Like, she's not as strong yeah. on them. It's cool to hear, like, kind of the weaker vocals. You
she's
know what
broody.
I mean?
Broody. There's yeah. a broody quality, yeah.
Yeah, and a little less confident, like, yeah. a little less clear. Her voice is in also in that place, which it is on the track, where it's like, a,
yeah.
And this
yeah.
is sort of more just Madonna voice.
A human voice, yeah. yeah.
But I find that it doesn't have the same dynamics obviously that the final track does, and I don't actually like the synth, that little synth that ends like the, you know, a verse. It kind of makes me feel like we're in like some kind of cheap Ukrainian restaurant, and
I'm there for that vibe.
And now we have the Madonna coming up to do a song.
I like that.
This is holy water.
I wrote it today on a napkin. Here we go,
Martin. Kick up that keyboard.
I see what you're saying. I think that there's though something that, because I find the overall track, I think it's chasing the trends a little bit. And I think the resistance to this song, because it was kind of a polarizing track on the album
for
critically.
Sure, for sure.
And I think I remember feeling very kind of like, I think Madonna has run out of some ideas. And B, I think she stepped over, like, some of it becomes a little absurd.
Like what?
And we'll get to and then the sound feels like it's not leading. I feel like it's catching up from a sound that's already happened. The Kanye sound is already that's like a common sound at that time.
Uh-huh.
That kind of like the crashing and that kind of drum beat, you know, the fleshed out version.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I find that the bass line is like very of the time, but also kind of timeless and very Madonna.
Yes, and I think the bass line is. Yes.
And so I'm really into that.
Uh-huh.
The claps feel like they're of this album. You know what
totally.
I mean?
Totally. Yeah.
And again, if we connected this, if it was like Illuminati and then this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of see a straight line.
Totally. Totally.
Sonically,
yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And I really like the chord progression on this. It gives it more drama.
Mm-hmm.
I like the drums too. I can hear that they're dated for sure. It's not a sound you would hear today, but necessarily. But I find it very very satisfying, and especially around 2 minutes and 34 seconds or whatever when Vogue comes in.
See,
I'm like
I remember feeling it at the time, because everyone's like, when the album came out, people I was talking to were like, wait till you hear Holy Water. And I got to Holy Water and we got to the Vogue breakout, and I was like, she's run out of ideas. Like, why are we back to Vogue?
I think, when are we not back to Vogue?
I know. And this begins kind of a lean on the Vogue. She leans on the Vogue.
She definitely
always
does.
Always
she definitely
leans
does.
On
she's
the
like,
Vogue.
What are you going to be doing for the show? Well, Vogue. Everybody's like, oh my God.
Well, she knows it's reliable, and she knows that there's something about it. And it does do that thing that it also does in Deeper and Deeper in a different way, which
is
elevates
lift it.
It takes
for
it
sure.
to another level.
For sure. And it reminds us.
Yeah.
But I liked it all.
I don't think we needed reminding. I think the echoes of Dida and Erotica are enough.
Yeah,
to
true.
Do it. I don't think we'd need a Vogue interpolation.
Ladies with an attitude. Don't just stand there. Don't just stand there. Don't just stand there. Let's get to it. Strike a pose. There's nothing to it. There's something you gotta hit. It's sacred and immaculate.
I like it. I think the song needed it.
it needed it, but I don't think that that's the problem with the song. That we, I shouldn't need an old song interpolation.
Why not?
I know, but that's how I feel about it.
Okay, Mark.
I was kind of like, this was the first time, and I'm really sad about it. Like, it was the first time I was like, oh, I really don't want to call back.
Whoa.
I know. I don't want to call back.
You don't want to call back.
But then we get to the point in the song where I was like, okay, I'm out.
When?
Yeezus loves my pussy best.
I
think it's so dumb.
I love it. I love it.
Who is Yeezus? What is Yeezus?
Kanye.
Yes. Yeezus, he does not love her pussy best.
Right, but it's a joke.
He
it's
took
joke,
her song,
girl.
but we shouldn't be joking about Holy Water and Madonna's Cunnilingus. Should we be joking about it?
Why not?
Because the rest of the song doesn't feel like a joke.
No, I think the song is very tongue-in-cheek.
Okay.
I mean, I think she's like, eat my pussy, get down there and eat it. But she's also like, this is funny and I'm being funny.
Yeah.
And I think the Yeezus loves my pussy best is like a joke. I think they laughed a lot when they made it.
Totally.
And I find it pretty audacious and ridiculous. Okay. Like over the top.
Yeah.
But in a way that I like. I think
I'm out.
Whoa.
I know. I'm out.
What do you mean you're out?
I think when I heard this originally, I was like, okay, Madonna's going back to, she's kind of reprising Erotica and we're going back to the world. And I'm into that. I love that world. And then Vogue came in and I was like, oh, she's run out of ideas for the song for Holy Water, the actual song, Holy Water. And then Yeezus Loves My Pussy Best. I was kind of like, this feels like she's trying too hard now.
Oh.
And it's too much of a grab to something relevant to it's like, okay, I've got these list of metaphors of holy water and all of this stuff, some of which she's done before. And now, okay, what else can we put in here that will resonate?
I don't think it was about that. I think they were having really a lot of fun in the studio. And I think that they thought this was hilarious.
Okay.
And like dirty.
Fine. Yeah. But like, she didn't say pussy. She bleeps it out. She does that.
On some versions, but no, some versions you hear her say it, okay. Don't you?
Kind of. Let's listen to it again.
Yeezus loves my pussy best.
She does say it.
Okay. But I don't know. I just think about the time in Waiting where she says, the next time you want pussy, huh? Just look in the mirror, baby. That is a provocative, audacious line.
Yes, it's very different. Different circumstances, a different story, Mark.
A different story. But it's not, but you can't like evoke that era and not grapple with what you did. Right?
Well, what do you mean? She does grapple with it. She's talking about, she's saying it more directly than she said it on Where Life Begins.
Yes.
Right? And crasser, more crass.
Yeah.
But I think she's reckoning with it. She's like, yeah, this is still a part of me.
Yeah, totally. And I am on board for that as an idea. Totally.
So I'm not sure what you're fighting for here.
I'm just, there's something about it that I was just kind of like, oh, Madonna.
For sure.
And
for
I
sure.
was like, you don't have to reach.
For sure.
Well, obviously, maybe it felt obvious in this weird, because Kanye's on the track and, you know, it's
sure.
like.
Sure. Well, I think you're pointing to something interesting because we are at track 12, which is sort of unofficially the halfway point of this fucking album. Okay. Technically 23, 24 tracks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So we're halfway through and we have taken a turn like where I think this is an album of big swings. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
We've talked about how the swings it is.
And
yeah.
this is a big swing too.
Yeah.
But is it too much of a reach for you? It sounds like it is.
Yeah. I think so. And I think that to your point, you can take a big swing and not have it land. And maybe that's the point of the record. It's a bunch of big swings. Some of them are successful. Some of them are not. But she's earned the right to just take all of them, as many as she wants
to
take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And yeah. I think on the second half of the album, I think there are a lot of big swings that don't all work.
No.
But the ones that do are
land
incredible.
Like a motherfucker. Yeah.
But we're also in a, you know, it's interesting. Like, I think this is partly about the listing, you know, the way that the tracks are listed. Because it's like, you kind of want Holy Water and Sex to go into each other in a way, like just a suite of dirty sex songs, you know, and Inside Out could even go in there too, right? And just sort of have the trio as like, or even Best Night could go in with those two. Like, those four could have been their own EP, like just sex.
Yeah, sex. Yeah.
You know, and then I would have like even bought it more.
Totally. Well, I think you're raising a really good point about the order and the way that that would kind of contextualize it a different way. Because the next, you know, we swing back out of this and then we're talking, you know, Vendi Vici Vici's coming up. Like, there's all of these like strange.
It's all over the place.
And then we go into sex again. So it like, you know, and I do think that there's something about Holy Water that taints the rest of the record for me in this weird way. There's a pivot that happens here.
Yes.
Where it's like, oh, does she want a hit? Does she want is she trying to be relevant? Is she trying to tell short stories? Like, what is the
right? I agree.
What is the kind of master plan?
Well, we know that there wasn't one, or there was the beginnings of one, and then she got upset.
Yeah,
and
she
stopped,
got upset,
you know?
And just started throwing paint on the wall.
No, but I agree. I agree, because if you think, like, we were, like, iconic, Joan of Arc, iconic, Heartbreak City, Body Shop.
Yeah.
Kind of, like, four, I mean, really great songs in a row.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, and building off of the others, I mean, I think that the album has builded really beautifully. I don't think that there's been a throwaway, except for Illuminati, which I don't like. But other people really like that song.
As do I.
Right. I know. Other people in this room really like this song.
Well, and I think it's really interesting because, you know, like Mike Dean is on this song too. He has made an impact. Kanye, obviously. And there's something that idiosyncratic, dense, heavy sound that burdened Illuminati for you and burdens this for me. I do think it's a polarizing sound
in this
really weird way. And I do think as we get into more of this album and then also Madame X, the Mike Dean of it all does, I mean, you either love it or you're like, what?
Well, I think, yes, I totally agree. I mean, I think that's when I said with Illuminati, like, if Kanye had followed through and done the whole album, I think this album probably would have been, like, so divisive, but also, in retrospect, like, kind of probably a masterpiece. Do
you
know what I'm saying?
Let me ask you a question. If you could commission Kanye West in 2015, let's say you said, I'm going to pay for you to get on the jet, go back to where Madonna is, and do one, and produce one more song on Rebel Heart that he didn't do. Like, which song do you think you would give him of the songs?
Gosh, I got to look at the track list. Hold on. Oh, I don't even have the whole track list because I've made it up my own. But of these tracks, I think, I don't know. You know, I think maybe Iconic could have been interesting.
Ooh.
I think maybe Unapologetic Bitch could have been interesting to see what he would do.
That could have been interesting. That would have been really cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll go with those two.
Okay.
I think, like, you know, maybe Beautiful Scars. I actually love Beautiful Scars. And anyway, what about you?
I've given this some thought. I would do Best Night.
Oh, well, I feel like Best Night feels like a Kanye song already.
I would love to hear, like, what, because Best Night to me feels like this person before she starts riding.
Right. No, I think that's, I mean, for me, it's like Best Night, Inside Out, Holy Water, and Sex all go together.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I know you like Best Night a lot.
Yeah. I can't wait to talk about Best Night.
Well, just a couple more weeks.
Couple years.
More weeks. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever performed cunnilingus? Actual cunnilingus.
Oh my gosh. I thought you were going to ask me about pole dancing. We haven't even talked about Bitch Get Off My Pole.
Oh, we'll get to that.
No. I am a gold star gay.
Oh.
Yes. I made up a story once to dazzle some guys with. Do this is a confession. Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah.
I made up a story that I slept with a lesbian named Jana.
Okay.
And to show some guy, I was probably 22, and I was like, yeah, I had a girlfriend in high school. Her name was Jana. She was a lesbian. And we decided to lose our virginity together. Oh. Yeah, because I didn't want to not have slept with a girl. I was being ridiculed. I was being ridiculed.
Did you like get into specifics where you're like, oh, first I ate her?
No. I wouldn't dare. No. But in all truth, the truth of the matter is that I have never had the urge or desire to
sleep with a woman.
To dive down there. Mm. No, I would love to. I mean, I've been down there to like help a girl get her labia pierced, but nothing sexual.
You weren't like, let me just.
Yeah, no. What about you?
Well, I have slept with women when I was in high school and college.
Yeah.
I don't recall performing cunnilingus though.
Really?
I don't think I did.
See, we need to go back and give those girls this record and where life begins so that they knew, be like, we're starting down there, honey.
I think they know by now. I think that was probably one of the reasons why it didn't work out. Wow. Do you like to eat ass?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
It is. It is your favorite thing?
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Any kind of ass?
I mean, no. No, I have some parameters.
What are your parameters? No,
I don't want to talk about this. Oh, my God.
This is the song is asking. This is part of
the
song.
Yeah, it is true. It's true. No, we have to talk about this song. It's secret and imaginative. I want a place that's secret and imaginative.
Oh, that's a secret garden.
I want a secret garden. I want something. I want an ass that feels special, feels needed to be tended to.
Oh, yeah.
Like a garden. Mm, yeah, okay. I think that's...
That's a poetic way of answering it.
But, you know, the thing... In all seriousness, like the one thing about eating ass that's hard is like, I really love the intimacy and connection of looking at each, like making eye. You can't really do that.
No, it's kind of hard.
That's really hard to do. I mean, there's a couple positions you can get people in to do that, but they're never comfortable. It becomes this, you have to kind of choose between the two.
Yes. Well, you can put a mirror in front. And then they can look into the mirror. No, you still can't really see.
Well, you're focused. Your focus is different.
Yeah, you gotta be focused.
Yeah, do you have any criteria?
I will be honest that I don't really like a very hairy ass to eat. Yeah.
Okay.
I really like a smooth or a relative. It can be a little hairy, but if it's like if it's bushy down there, I'm not going.
You're not going at all?
No.
Oh.
No, because I have this fear. That, you know, stuff gets caught in the hair.
Yeah, totally.
Do you know what I'm
saying? I get that. But you know what? When I get to that stage with a man,
it's like it doesn't matter.
I've already vetted that part of it. Right. They know what they're doing down there.
I can get into it, but it would take a lot. Like, it's not like a rando who's like I'm hooking up with and they're like, eat my ass. And I'm like, that is one hairy ass. I'm not going there. Like, that's me.
Oh.
But if it's like somebody I'm more intimate with, maybe if I hooked up with them a few times, maybe I would do it.
Would you tell them to shave their ass?
I would never tell anybody to shave anything.
A girl. That's important.
But I just know it doesn't turn me on. But eating ass does turn me on.
The thing I love about, and same with cunnilingus, it's such a vulnerable spot.
Yeah.
And I also think that I always think about that great Sex in the City episode where Charlotte looks at herself in the mirror after never looking at her vagina and all of this stuff. And I just think to myself, you know, and that was a big thing in the 70s was women, you know, getting their hand mirror. And I think that there's something, unless you're one of those women, a lot of women don't look down there. So you have this access to that part of their body that they don't see.
Right.
And you don't see your, I mean, like, I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
So I kind of like the mystery of it.
Yeah.
And I think this song has some mystery in it. There's like a murkiness in the quality of it that I just really love too.
You think there's a murkiness in it?
There's a mystery. There's a kind of like a, Well, we should talk about Bitch Get Off My Pole. What pole is she talking about?
I think she's talking about the stripper pole. I think she's talking to another stripper. She's like, you know, she's like working and she's like seducing. She's like, you know, my pussy's better than anybody's. Come over here. Bitch, get off my pole. I'm working. I'm working this guy.
Interesting.
I'm working this woman. I'm working whoever.
See, I think you don't need anything. Like, I think I like the idea of like, quit being distracted by I have everything you need.
Oh.
That you don't need any toys. You don't need any, like, it's anything that's keeping you from getting, from connecting with the source, I think.
Okay. I mean, I buy that. I buy that.
Like, maybe it's a dildo. Maybe it's a metaphor for a dildo. Like, we don't need any toys. Like, I have everything we need.
Yeah. I think you're right. It's like, bitch, you know, she's basically trying to be like, focus on this.
Yeah.
I'm the focus.
Yeah.
I think the bitch get off my pole is probably something she heard somewhere and thinks is, again, funny and sounded great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a great line for her. And another, you know, she's like, at some point, like, she thought this album would be called Bitch. And so there's another bitch reference, right?
Maybe, well, all the songs started with the word bitch.
That was her assignment.
Bitch, living for love.
Right. Bitch on Madonna.
Bitch Joan of Arc.
Ghost town bitch. You're a ghost town bitch.
You're a ghost town bitch. This song got this song leaked like 8 times.
It did?
It leaked in the initial, there was in that big leak, and then it leaked again, a different version of it leaked, and then the actual song leaked like the month before the album dropped. Oh. This was like a big like leaker.
It's a leaky pussy.
It was. It was leaky. It was a leaky one.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I can understand why, because it's like sensational.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's headline grabbing. I mean,
yeah,
I think
totally.
Everyone mentioned it in the reviews for this album. I mean, I think, and you know, she did it live on the Rebel Heart tour in a very abbreviated version, but still made a lot of points with it, I think.
Yes. But it was, you know, they couldn't perform it in Singapore.
No, they didn't. They dropped it a couple.
Like 3 songs. Yeah.
I mean, I think, and we'll talk about it when we get to the Rebel Heart tour. But this is one of those songs where I wonder if in the studio she was like, you know, it would be really great if I finally like rode the stripper pole myself. You know, because there is that idea of like, well, what would the live version be of this? And the live version of this song, I think of all the songs on the tour, embodies the song the most. Where
I
was like,
I agree.
Is actually what this song should be.
I agree. I to be totally honest, when this album first came out, I did not feel that strongly about this song.
Mm.
But seeing it on video from the Rebel Heart tour is what turned me into really liking it. I was like, I really got it.
Yeah.
And so, yes, this is like one of those great Madonna songs, like the I'm a Sinner, or another song that I couldn't totally understand on the album and fully came to life for me. Unlike some other songs she does on the Rebel Heart tour that don't elevate.
Yeah. Yeah.
This one really grew on me through that performance.
Well, and now I'm thinking about, as we're talking about this, I'm really thinking about, the Catholicism of it all.
Yeah.
And I think, because I'm thinking about that image when she's like going back towards the table where the Last Supper is going to be for the end of the song. And she's like thrashing around and she's being almost pulled towards the table and she's resisting and thrashing. And it's this whole thing. And it's the music from Holy Water. And what I love is, I think like this song is such an empowerment song, but it's still with all of that imagery, she's almost acknowledging that the guilt she ever was made to feel about her sexuality or the power that her sexuality gave her is kind of gone.
Yeah.
Like she's almost like taunting it with the imagery.
Yes.
And I think that that's really powerful too.
I think that's such a good point. And it made me think about Celebration, where we really have like a full sex suite.
Yeah.
And that she's really, very comfortable in it. It's not like, oh, I'm being provocative or dangerous. She's like, sex is a really important part of my life and part of my world, and like I'm actively engaging in it. You know, I think about, like, I guess it's to Justify My Love, where she like sits down while everybody's sort of having sex around her and then is pulled into it. And I think you're right. I think there's like, there's no more shame.
Well, and that's so interesting that you brought up the celebration, because I was thinking like, erotic, like this is like the stepping stone towards that suite, because for the first time she's not trying to outrun it in Erotica and Justify My Love. She sits still and she's like, she just is present within it, as opposed to negotiating it or dealing with it in this other kind of like ramshackle way. And I think to myself, it's like when does that how does that happen for people?
Right.
And when do you finally sit in all of the things you are and all of the consistencies? I just saw one of our listeners on our social media feed has a film of him coming out of the Brendan Healy. Brendan Healy turned 50.
Yes.
And it's him stunningly naked coming out of an ocean. And he's like, I'm 50.
I wanted that 50 to move away so I could see.
Well,
Brendan, send us some pictures,
Brendan,
please.
Send us some photographs of you at 50. But I was like, this is a man who is seated in himself, in his power, in his sexuality, in his heat. And, I mean, he'd get down there and eat it.
Absolutely.
Till next time.
Bye.